Author Charles Swindle, in his book titled Stress Fractures, tells of a time when he had too many commitments in too few days. Can you relate to that? He said he was getting snippy with everybody, including, of course, his wife and his children, choking down his food at mealtimes, you know, being rude when, you know, normal interruptions would occur throughout the day at work. Everybody knew that he just was too busy. One evening at dinner, his youngest daughter said to him hurriedly, "Daddy, I want to tell you something that happened at school today, but I'm going to tell you really fast." And then he realized that his bad mood was rubbing off on his family and causing them to feel as though he didn't even have time to hear from them. And so he said to his daughter, "Honey, you tell me whatever you want, and I'll listen. You don't have to say it fast." And she said, "Okay, Daddy, but if I'm going to say it not fast, then you have to listen slowly." Well, it kind of reminds me of Nipper, a terrier that you know, but you may not have known that that was his name. He is the dog who is featured in the famous photograph turned into a painting by Francis Bureau that would eventually become the logo for Victrola and later RCA. But it depicts Nipper, the terrier, staring into the mouth of the phonograph, and his head is sort of turned to the side. He's trying to figure out where the sound is coming from. The piece is entitled His Master's Voice, which sort of leaves us with the impression that the voice, or what Nipper is hearing, is the voice of his master. You have a dog who does that, like our little dog does. When you talk to it, sometimes it'll sort of turn its head as though it's really trying hard to understand what it is that you're saying. Listening intently, taking time to listen slowly, to drink it in. How do you listen to God? How do you listen to God? Is it more like Swindle described at the beginning, where he's so busy and he hardly has enough time to really focus on anything, and so if he's going to do anything, it's going to be like fast food style, right? Give it to me quickly, whatever sticks will stick, the rest will fall to the ground. Or is it like Swindle after his daughter talked to him, and he realized these words that I'm hearing are precious, and I really need to take time to listen to them? Is it like Nipper, where you're just really trying to figure out what's being said, and I'm going to look intently, listen carefully to the things that are being stated? If you will, open your Bible to Mark chapter 4. If you use one of the Bibles on the back of the pew, that's page 997, by the way. 997. We'll make it easy on us today. Mark chapter 4. Jesus helps us think about how we listen to God. And for our guests this morning, one of the things we're trying to do at Henderson this year, as you see on the banners to my right and my left, is just to walk with Jesus. All right, so let's observe what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And let's see how that can translate into my life and help my heart to be more like what God wants that to be, to walk more in step with Jesus every day. Well, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus describes listening to God. Now, before we get there, just look back one verse prior to verse 35 of chapter 3. And look at something that Jesus says there. He says, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is in an exchange where there's some folks who have come to Jesus and they said, "Hey, your mom and your siblings are wanting you out there." And Jesus, in a style that was unusual, but intended to create a shock factor so that people would really think about what it was that he had just said. He said, I'll tell you who my mother and my brothers are. They are the ones who do the will of God. Now, by saying that, Jesus didn't mean in any way, I don't believe, to be disrespectful to his physical family members, but instead to draw attention to the fact that those who ultimately would be a part of the family of God would be those who are willing to listen to and to do what God's word says. Which brings us to our first of two major observations this morning, and that is simply this. You know, it's important to hear what God says. Did you know that God is speaking to you today? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke. God spoke. God spoke. Can you imagine that? The creator of the universe, the one in whom we live and move and have our very being, has communicated. And long ago, it was to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he has appointed the heir of all things and through whom also he created the worlds. God has spoken. And in Mark 3:35, Jesus says, I tell you the person who is a part of my family, he or she is the person who does the will of God. God does have a will. God has spoken and he's communicated. He's spoken through his word and he's communicated to you and me what his will is. In fact, 1 John 3:22 says, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. All right, so there are some things that please God. And we can know those things that please God because God's told it to us. He's given us his word. I think about what Peter and John said in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. That was in a context where there were people who were trying to get them to basically forsake Christ and Christ's way so that they could conform to what the people at that time wanted them to do. And the response was, listen, we have to obey God. The point is, God has revealed himself and his will to us. And because of that, it's really important that we hear the things that he says. So now look back at Mark chapter 4 at verse 1. Jesus was teaching beside the sea and a large crowd gathered there. And look at this. He had to get into a boat. I mean, the crowd is just pressing in. There's no more room right there on the bank. And so he gets in a boat and he sits down there and he begins to teach. And verse 2 says that he was teaching them many things in parables. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning, it's been described before. And that sounds like a pretty good description of a parable. Here was a story that Jesus would tell to place alongside of a truth. They were designed to give insight into life in the kingdom. And in fact, if you were to continue reading through Mark chapter 4, you would see the phrase, the kingdom of God, three times. So these parables were intended to sort of tell us about the kind of kingdom that Jesus wants us to be. The kind of kingdom over which Jesus is the king. They were designed to be provocative. In other words, you were supposed to listen to these and come away thinking, huh, there's something Jesus wants me to do. He's calling upon me to make a decision. Jesus taught that way. Parables are designed to reveal more truth to those who really desire that truth, and even to hide the truth from those who do not desire it. Don't believe me? Just look down in Mark 4 and look at verses 10 through 12. When Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. Hey, why do you teach like this? And Jesus said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. What are you saying, Jesus? Are you saying that you don't want some people to understand your word? No, that's not what he's saying at all. the point is, there are some people who, because of predisposition, because of prejudice against the truth, because they like their way more than they like God's ways, when they hear the message of truth, all it's going to do is push them further away because they don't want to submit to God. Somebody said, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. Well, there are some folks who react to the influence of the Word of God and their hearts are melted. They're open to God and they want to submit to whatever God wants them to do. But there are other people who hear the message of the truth and they're hardened to it. I don't want to submit. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. But see, the point is, God has spoken. God's told us what we need to do. And Jesus is about to teach in a parable in Mark chapter 4. That is designed to be provocative. It is designed to draw our attention to Jesus and to call us to make a personal decision about Him. All right, so what is it? Well, it's the parable that Carter read for us a minute ago. It starts in verse 3. Sometimes we call it the parable of the sower. It's a parable, easy for me to say, about four different types of soils. The dirt in which the seed is sown. And Jesus describes these different types of soils. And then later in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is actually going to tell us what this all means. Wonder what truth Jesus is trying to emphasize from this parable. Well, as I look to verse 3, look at the first word there in Mark 4, verse 3. Jesus says, listen. Listen. And then drop down to verse 9. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then I come over to verse 15. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Ah, okay, if I start reading through Mark chapter 4 and I look carefully, I will see that there is this word that is repeated 12 times throughout the chapter, and it's the word hear. Jesus is teaching me how to listen to God. Jesus, what do you want me to know? He says that there are essentially four reactions to hearing the message of God. And this is the second major section in our lesson this morning. That means after this, we're done. There are four reactions to the way that people listen to God. Now, I got to warn you. You and I are going to fit in one of these four. So there's a part of this truth that's going to step on my toes a little bit, and it's going to step on yours too. See, we're all in this boat together as Jesus starts teaching. But that's the point, you see. Jesus loves you. He wants you to hear the message of Jesus. And so by exposing these four reactions, what he's doing is calling us to think, which one am I? How do I respond? How do I listen to God? Number one, he says that the soil of some hearts is hard. Some hearts are hard. Look at verse 14. The sower sows the word. Ah, okay. Now I'm beginning to see, Jesus, why you told that story about this man that's out and he's sowing seed and scattering all over the place. The seed represents God's word. Okay, so the sower is sowing the word of God, and there are some hearts, some types of soil that is represented in like a pathway. Verse 15, these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. This pathway type soil would have been like a hardened walkway that separated the narrow strips of soil that had been prepared for planting. All right, so in between the areas where you could plant, you might have these other areas where folks could walk so they could tend to the plants and, of course, to sow the seed. And seed that would fall along this path, the place where the dirt's been compacted because folks keep stepping on it, well, the seed wouldn't even penetrate the ground, right? And so the birds just come and they snatch the seed away. The seed never really has an opportunity to enter into the soil. And what Jesus is saying is that some people's hearts are like that. Some are going to dismiss the word without giving it even any careful consideration because for whatever reason, their hearts are hardened to the gospel. Maybe they don't want to think about the gospel. Maybe they have this idea, you know, that they've tried religion before and they feel like they don't have anything left to learn. Maybe there are some people who are just kind of afraid to even listen to the gospel. What's he going to call me to do? How will that conflict with the way that I was raised? Jesus says that there are some folks whose hearts are represented by the pathway type soil. They hear the message of the word, maybe even in a setting like this one, but the word is not allowed to get in because of something else. In the second place, in looking down at verses 16 and 17, Jesus said that some people have hearts with soil that is shallow. Verse 16, these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. They have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, and then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Now in Palestine, in the region where Jesus was teaching and preaching, even giving this very parable, there were places where there would be perhaps a thin layer of dirt that rested on top of a bedrock of maybe like limestone or something. It was just hardened rock down there on the bottom. And so the seeds that fell there could get a little rainwater and the sun could warm them such that they could grow, even sprout. But, you know, eventually that root system, it's going to hit that rock and it can't go any further. And so when anything, you know, begins to attack that little seedling, that little sprout, it can't survive. And Jesus says that some folks are like that in their hearts. They initially receive the message. They let it in. The young growth, though, eventually dies because they can't withstand the persecution that comes. It's so easy to start, isn't it? Are you a good starter? I am a great starter. You know, once I decide I'm going to do something, boy, I can do it. Now, don't ask me about it in 2 weeks. Okay. I like to think I'm a little better than that. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But, you know, it's hard, right? After a while, the new wears off. Maybe that initial burst of energy wears off. And before you know it, we find ourselves back in the same ruts that we once found. Even worse, if maybe we're trying to get something off the ground, but just life just starts pouring down on top of us. And we just think, why am I even trying this? Everything feels so uphill. Why does it have to be so difficult? You know, Jesus isn't saying this to say, well, if you're a pathway type heart, or if you're a stony type heart, that you're stuck that way forever. In fact, what we're going to see is that if I'm willing to trust in Jesus, it may mean that sometimes I'm uncomfortable. You know, persecution, tough stuff might come, tribulation. But if I'll stick with Jesus, I can keep going. He'll see me not only up to that point, but through it. Remember that great 23rd Psalm? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. Jesus helps us to get through that stuff. Well, in the third place, he says that some people's hearts are like the soil that's the thorny ground. And by application, he's saying some hearts are just distracted. Verse 18, others are the ones sown among thorns, and they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. You know, it's possible for a field to look like it's really clean, but it could still cradle, perhaps even beneath the surface, the wild seed that produces thorns and weeds and things that are detrimental to the health of the seed that you actually want to sow and to nurture and to grow. Jesus says that there are hearts like that. Hearts that get distracted by worry and wealth and a craving for other things. And the crux of the matter is, we all have things that concern us. Absolutely. Everybody's got difficult things in life. But the point is, it's kind of like, I want to focus more on that. That's the sense of what Jesus is saying here. I want to focus more on that than I want to focus on Jesus. And the positive teaching that counteracts what Jesus is sort of negatively exposing here is what he says over in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will make sure that you have everything else that you need. So see, that's counteracting this sort of thorny soil. But you know, we're about to get there again, aren't we? Are you going to have to go in and start weeding flower beds? You have some of that kind of stuff that's coming up here in a few weeks, depending on what the weather does this week or next. It's hard work, isn't it? Getting all those weeds out. And it's work that's really never done. It's really never done. Jesus says that there's some soil like that, but the good news is it can be cultivated. The fourth kind of soil that Jesus talks about is the best one. It's the good one. Some hearts are just fruitful. Jesus says in verse 20 that those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and it bears fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. You know, a well-prepared bed of soil was a sower's delight. And Jesus says that there are those who hear the word and accept it, and it bears fruit. They're not deterred by difficulties. They're not distracted by other desires. They are active listeners, those who are listening intently. Just like old Nipper, who is looking in, right, to the phonograph and trying to figure out, you know, what is being said there. Here are people who are willing to really focus when God speaks through his word, and so they're letting it in. And it resides deeply within them, in their hearts or in their minds, and they're thinking it through, and they're going to respond in a way that the result is fruit is born. I've read that a 10-fold harvest is considered a success, but what Jesus describes here is 30-fold or 60-fold or even 100-fold. Look at what God can do in a heart that is willing to listen to him. That is willing to listen. Jesus says, whoever abides in me and I in him, this is John 15, verse 5, he it is who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This morning, how do you listen to God? Is your heart hard? And hey, I have to ask myself this too. Is my heart hard? Or shallow? Maybe there's rock just beneath the surface. And so when difficulty comes, the little sprout of God's word in my heart just doesn't withstand the pressure. Is your heart distracted by other things, things that you want more than Jesus? Or is your heart fruitful? Regardless, I want you to hear this, that if you're listening to this message, then the soil of your heart can be cultivated to be fruitful. If you're here this morning, or if you're listening to this online, or if you're listening to it as a recording later, your heart can be cultivated. Now, as we said, and as we learn in the springtime each year, right? It's not always easy to get the weeds out. It's hard work. But with God's help, through his word, we can do it. And God promises to give the increase. In fact, Jesus says, the one who asks will receive. The one who seeks will find. To him who knocks, well, the door will be opened. But there's what I do in asking and seeking and knocking. And then there's what God says he promises he'll do in helping us to find, in giving it to us so we can receive, in opening up the door. Jesus teaches us how to listen to God. Can we help somebody this morning? Listen, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I want to know more. Maybe I'm interested in sitting down and participating just in a Bible study. We're talking one-on-one or just a few of us together across the table, and we open up God's Word and we say, you see what this is saying here? And we just kind of study it through together. Let me tell you how you can request that. On the back of those, on the cards that are on the backs of the pew in front of you, there's a place down at the bottom that says, are you interested in a Bible study? Listen, if you'll complete the information with your name and how we can get in touch with you and circle that you're interested in a Bible study. In just a little while, when we conclude with a song, we got some young men that are going to come by and collect these. Just give it to them, and they'll get it to us, and we'll be in contact really, really soon. This morning, if there's someone here, listen, we have this tradition. This is the way that we like to end sermons, by giving us an opportunity to respond to the things that God has said. And so if there's someone this morning who needs prayers, particularly, usually we think of it this time of a spiritual nature, maybe your heart isn't right with God, now's a great opportunity for you to come and to ask for those prayers. If there's a Christian here who has fallen away and you're ready to come back home, this is a great opportunity for you to do that. And listen, we're a family of God's people who love each other, and we want to support each other. And we'll pray together and encourage one another however we can. This morning, if you've been thinking about what the Lord wants you to do to be saved, and you've been studying, you see that Jesus talks about having faith in Him and being willing to turn away from everything else, all the distractions and difficulties, and to focus on Him and to repent of sin that I've committed. If you're willing this morning to confess His name as Lord and Savior and to be buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, then we can assist you with that today. We've got water prepared. We have clothing prepared, towels that you can dry off with later. We would rejoice, even as the New Testament says, heaven rejoices over the decision that you make to give your life to the Lord. If we can help anybody this morning, please feel free to come to the front while we stand.